moving all around the Taipei area.
Oh, this always feels good.
It's 5:30 in the afternoon here in Kathmandu, Nepal.
Okay, just a few hundred steps to go, and I'm at the top of the platform here of Swayamvunath, the monkey temple.
I was drinking a mixture of beer, a rice wine, and I am really feeling it now. I am up at 3:30 in the morning to go to a tuna auction.
I am here in Mumbai, India,
and I'm here in Tokyo, Japan for Sakura, the cherry blossoms.
It's 7:45 in the morning here in Phnom Penh, and I'm just going to try to cross the street. I'm going to try on a crosswalk.
It's 6:15 in the morning, and I think I'm one of the only people in Ta Prohm. This is the Tomb Raider Temple.
Hi, I'm John Sabo, and this is the Far East Travels Podcast. Hey there, it's John Sabo with the Far East Travels Podcast, coming to you from Saigon, Vietnam. I am in District 1. This is where I am, in a place or ward called Da Cao, if you're familiar with Ho Chi Minh City or District 1. I'm maybe about a 10-minute walk from the U.S. consulate, the German consulate, French consulate. I'm basically in the consulate zone of Ho Chi Minh City. So in this episode of the Far East Travels Podcast, I want to delve a little bit deeper into why it is so important. I mean, so important for us to continue dreaming, continue planning and thinking about our next trip. We've got to do it. It's going to get us through this pandemic for sure. So I want to give a shout out to somebody today that just wrote a lovely podcast review recently, and her name is Rebecca Lem, and actually did a little back and forth with Rebecca, which was kind of nice, and I didn't realize until just the other day that she actually wrote a podcast review as well. And this is what Rebecca wrote. This is one of my favorite podcasts. So much useful and interesting information. And this podcast has given me lots of ideas on new places in East Asia I'd like to visit when it's possible. It's a fun listen and very helpful for travelers. Also, John Sabo is boots on the ground during this COVID-19 mess. And it's been invaluable to hear inside information about what is happening there travel-wise. Well, thank you, Rebecca. I really appreciate that. You know, those reviews really do help others discover the Far East Travels Podcast. So when you have some time, I would really appreciate a review. I'm going to leave a link in the show notes. And all you have to do is just follow that link. Make sure you're signed into your iTunes account. Write a review. But before you do that, rate the podcast out of 5 stars and then write a brief review. And then you'll help others discover the Far East Travels Podcast. Thanks. Okay, so I was inspired the other day by an article I saw in National Geographic online, and I think this, I don't know if this was written in the last couple of months anyways, published in the last couple of months by Erica Jackson Curran. And the article is called "Here's Why Planning a Trip Can Help Your Mental Health." So I read this article, which was great, and it just inspired me to talk a little bit more about this, why it's so important to be continuing our travel plans despite the uncertainty of travel in the future. I've noticed lately, of course, and it's predictable, a considerable drop off in communication from listeners regarding trip planning. I don't know if that sound effect is coming through. If it is, I apologize. I've got somebody on Skype trying to reach me right now. So let me just shut that off there. And so I, um, you know, I've noticed that the inquiries, you know, I'll get like notes from people saying, hey, thanks for talking about Laos or Cambodia, or I loved your video on this. I'm going in a little while or something, or we're planning soon. That kind of thing has really dropped off over the last few months. And of course, it's not surprising because, you know, we're all really uncertain as to when we can start traveling, when things can get back to normal again. We don't know. But it doesn't mean that we have to give up our travel plans. We have to, you know, stop thinking and dreaming about the future. And that's what this article, and then another one I want to quote from the Washington Post as well, talks about. So a 2014 Cornell University study delved into how the anticipation of an experience like a trip can increase a person's happiness substantially. So this is from this National Geographic article. Much more so than the anticipation of buying material goods. Isn't that so true? I mean, we all know that have been traveling for a while. We all know that a new coat or a car or whatever just doesn't feel the same as talking about a trip that you just went on to India or Nepal or Vietnam. It's just not the same. And an earlier study published by the University of Surrey in 2002 found that people are at their happiest when they have a vacation planned. And we've given up on that, or a lot of us have given up on that lately because of the uncertainty of the future, which again is understandable, but it doesn't mean, you know, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end to all of this. And there will be an end to this. And, you know, if we can look at it that way, I think, you know, without attaching ourselves to a time when we can start traveling again, to just start thinking about the places we want to go and dreaming about the things that we want to do, I think that we'll have a much better mental state to get through, you know, what still could be, you know, an obstacle or a hurdle for a while. So the whole point of the National Geographic article is, though, even though we may be stuck inside without the possibility for actual travel in sight, just the act of travel planning, which usually involves discussing your plans and ideas with others, can fill in the void, an act of storytelling, which is, you know, what us travelers all love to do, right? We all love to go on trips. And while we're traveling, we love to share our stories with other people in the hotels or guest houses that we're staying in or places that we meet up at. And then, of course, we love telling stories after the trip as well, of course, about what happened and, you know, the mishaps, the adventures, the wonderful meetings that we had, the engagement we had with local people. All of that stuff makes us really excited. So when we start talking to other people about a trip that we're planning, you know, we start sharing with each other ideas and stories and things like that. So it gives us hope. You know, and certainly we can all use that right now. So Robert Reiner, a psychologist and an executive director at Behavioral Associates, was quoted in a Washington Post story this year as saying, right now, especially with people's spirits so low, structuring something that you are excited about is a great thing, as long as you understand the fact that it might not happen. Reiner says. So that's the idea again about getting attached to something. So there's no harm in actually booking trips for next year as long as you can get a complete refund or cancel if necessary. And probably, you know, in our time, we've never had a more flexible way to book travel right now. I don't think there's one airline that would, you know, it would not give you a refund if you're booking a trip 6 months down the road and you have to cancel it, especially due to COVID-19. So we have an opportunity right now to book things and probably have 100% guarantee that we'll get our money refunded or our deposits refunded if we back out. So if you want to go to that length and actually put money down, then, you know, there's no harm if, as long as you have, you know, something in writing that guarantees that you'll get your money back, then why not? Why not put something down, a date, book it with your boss next spring or next fall and start putting that plan into place, that trip into place, like it's going to happen. And then don't get so attached to it that, you know, if it doesn't happen, it'll be a big letdown. So like I said, probably never in the history of commercial travel have airlines and tour companies had such flexible cancellation and refund policies. So that's another step you could do if you wanted to go that far as to actually start booking things. Just don't get attached to the date. The article in the Washington Post goes on to say we have a unique opportunity to reset our travel expectations and go back to remember why some of our most memorable trips are so endearing to us. So I totally agree. I think now we have the time to reflect on all of those trips that we did and figure out which ones or probably don't even need to figure out. They'll probably just come to your mind, top of mind, which were your best trips, which were your favorite places to go and why. What were the things that made that trip so special? Was it the village, the remote village that you visited? Was it just laying on this exotic beach and not doing anything? Was it walking through the markets and chatting with local people and joking around or having a coffee and meeting some local people in a cafe somewhere and finding out what life was like for them? I mean, you have that time now to reflect and figure out all those things that you want to do. And maybe there's places that you want to go back to that you had such a wonderful experience, or you just want to replicate that experience in a new place. So now we have the luxury, we have all this time, you know, to stop and reflect and then reset and then start again. Maybe you want to completely change the way you travel. Maybe you're used to a very rigid form of travel, and now through all this you want to be a little more of a flexible traveler. And maybe that's what you want to change. Or maybe you want a little more structure. Maybe you're kind of too little out there and you'd like to just go to a place and just stay in one place and enjoy like one city and what it has to offer. Now you have the time to do that. So on a personal level, I've been watching lots of movies lately. I think I've shared on the podcast in the last few weeks that I'm thinking India as a one of the first places I'd like to go back to, and not exactly sure where. I have a couple of ideas, but I'm watching more and more videos on India, and I'm reliving my Indian experiences on the trains and all of the different places I've gone to, and I'm looking at new places. I saw a wonderful documentary, I'm not sure how old it was, last night, and it was on this Australian journalist that was retracing James Hilton's inspiration for the book Shangri-La. And he ended up in the Hunza Valley in Pakistan, and that's kind of where they deduced the inspiration for that book came from. And the Hunza Valley looked absolutely amazing. I've heard about this place. This is where people live to over 100 years old. They have so many people that live over 100 years old, and they attribute it to the diet that they have, the diet of fruits and nuts and little meat. And I remember seeing something in a health food store many years ago about the benefits of eating the same way the people in the Hunza Valley do. So I would love to see that part of South Asia. I'm not sure how safe it is lately, but that's certainly was inspiring for me, as was another video I saw on somebody traveling through the Karakoram, that portion of the Himalaya that's you know, a part of Pakistan and China and Afghanistan, and they were traveling through Tajikistan, I think, and it just looked absolutely amazing. Probably one of the last few places that hasn't been trampled by tourists. So that's where I'm getting my inspiration from, is a lot of video, a lot of movies right now. And it's, I haven't set any dates yet or said, okay, this is exactly what I'm going to do. But I'm kind of whirling around all these ideas right now, as well as Myanmar and a few other places that I'd really like to delve into not too long in the future, hopefully. But no dates for me set yet. So watch lots of movies, watch lots of YouTube videos, follow locals on Instagram and Facebook. So find somebody like me who's in Ho Chi Minh City a lot that's sharing stuff on Instagram every day in my Instagram stories, John Sabo's Far East Travels, if this is the place that you want to come to. Find somebody like me in another city or a few cities that you want to visit and follow them. And then you can sort of see a little bit more of the everyday of the city and maybe get inspired that way. You know, Facebook, of course, as well as Instagram, are great for that. You know, I can also recommend something that I did many, many years ago before I went on my last visit to Sri Lanka. And I was so excited about going to Sri Lanka. There were so many things I wanted to do. Sri Lanka just did not let me down, no matter how high my expectations were. It lived up to everything. And before I went to Sri Lanka, months before I went, and I was thinking about it while I was in the corporate world and planning and dreaming about the trip that I was going to take at Christmas time to Sri Lanka, I listened to a couple of local radio stations from Colombo, Sri Lanka, using the TuneIn radio app, which you can still use. There's lots of, maybe even Spotify, you can find something on Spotify, but definitely TuneIn radio would have some of the local radio stations. So I listened to a couple of radio stations from Colombo. I think one was Sinhalese and one was sort of Tamil Sinhalese, or just Tamil. And, you know, of course, I couldn't understand the language, but I certainly was inspired by the music and just the vibe and the feel of the place. They played a lot of traditional music on the Sinhalese station, and they played newer stuff as well and sort of Bollywood type stuff. Absolutely. I mean, what a amazing way to get yourself psyched for a trip. So that's another thing you could do. And then, of course, one of the easy ones to do is just create a board on Pinterest. If you have a Pinterest account, just create a board and start collecting pictures from all the places that you want to go and create. Here's, you know, my next trip for 2021. And if it's Vietnam, then start collecting all the pictures you want from Vietnam or Myanmar or India or Nepal, wherever you want to go. Do it that way. You know, our dreams are our doors to reality. When we start dreaming, it eventually opens up to reality. Whatever we can imagine in our head, you know, whether it's bad or good, it can eventually happen. So that's why it's so important to imagine positive things and good things, because there's a good chance that in all likelihood, if you really see those things, you can see those things happening, they will come to reality one day. Just don't get attached to the date, and you'll be fine. So make this a time to appreciate all the travel that you have done, recall some amazing experiences, and enjoy planning your next adventure like never before.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome on board flight 62403 to Chennai. Flying time of 2 hours and 30 minutes. We'll be covering a distance of 1,830 kilometers and we'll cruise at 30,000 feet above mean sea level. Sit back, relax, enjoy your flight.
Namaskar Indigo ke uran sankhya 6E2403 mein aapka swagat hai. Ab hum Chennai jaane ke liye taiyar hain. Chennai tak ki duri 2 ghante 10 minute mein puri ki jayegi. Is uran ke mukhya vimani kaptan Rajesh Johar hain aur sah kaptan Akansha Kashyap, wo dono Delhi ke rehne wale hain. Hamare aaj ke kormidal नयंत्रा, तन्वी, अपर्णा, दिल्ली से और मैं आर्यवान आपके मुख्य कर्मचारी मणिपुर के निवासी हूँ. इस उड़ान के कर्मचारी हिंदी और अंग्रेजी बोल सकते हैं. धन्यवाद और अब हमारे पुरस्कृत इन फ्लाइट सेवा का आनंद लें. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, good morning. Welcome to Winigo. It is indeed a real pleasure to have you on board with us today. Our flight 6E2403 is now ready for departure. The flying time to Chennai is 2 hours and 30 minutes. Your crew in the flight deck are Captain Rajesh Johar and First Officer Akansha Kashyap. They are from Delhi. And in the cabin are Nayantra, Tanvi, Aparna from Delhi, and I'm Ayavan, unit cabin crew member from Manipur. Members of the crew today speak English and Hindi. Thank you and enjoy our winning on board service.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you want to support the Far East Travels podcast, you can do so by also becoming a patron. Patrons get access to exclusive content and a little more access to me, and it really does help support the podcast and my YouTube channel and everything else that I do here from Asia. So I'll leave a link in the show notes. Just follow that link and check out all the offers. And thank you so much in advance. I would love to connect with you, stay connected with you, and there's a few different ways you can do it, by either following me on Facebook, the Far East Travels podcast page, or the Far East Travels page. I would love to merge those two in at some point. I think I'll be able to do that. I'm still trying. So those two pages, or John Sabo Official, or you can also follow me on Instagram, John Sabo's Far East Travels on Instagram, and connect with me that way as well. As well as checking out my YouTube channel. I think I got another video coming out pretty soon, too, on the markets of Ho Chi Minh City. So thanks again. I really appreciate your support. And I do wish you all the best. Stay safe. Namaste. And we'll get through this.